Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. We are recording in Silver Spring, Maryland, and are so glad that you can join us. Sota Mem Aleph, Sota 41a, pagination is 81, starting from a part in the Mishnah, about 12 lines from the bottom, in the beginning of a line, V'hamelech Omed Umekabel V'kore Yoshev. The king, during the mitzvah of Hakel, a special mitzvah every 7 years, to gather the people, and the king would read from the Sefer Torah before them. So the king would accept the Sefer Torah from those who brought it to him, and then he would read it while he was sitting. Agrippus HaMelech Amad V'kibel V'kara Omed. Agrippus, a king, at the end of the second Beis HaMikdash, stood up to receive the Sefer Torah, but in honor of the Sefer Torah, he continued standing as he read the Sefer Torah. Vishabchuhu Chachamim. And the sages praised him for that behavior. When he was reading, he came across the pasuk, "Uchashiyegia lo sucha lo sesalecha ish nochri." You're not allowed to put upon you a foreigner as a king. Zolgu einav demaos. He began to cry because apparently Agrippus was on some level a righteous person, and he was installed as the king based on the different social and political dynamics, but he was not a meyuchas. He was not with the right lineage to be a king over the Jewish people. And therefore he began crying when he got to that pasuk that declared that he's not appropriate. Amrulo, the sages, said to him, Altis yore Agrippus, don't be afraid, Agrippus. Achinu ata, achinu ata. You're our brother. You're our brother. We consider you a brother, and it's all okay. The Gemara tells us that this handling of that difficult situation was severely inappropriate. Because if Agrippus at least came to the realization that he's not supposed to be king, they should have left it at such. Whether he would no longer be king or he would be king, but reluctantly, based on the needs of the time, based on the situation, based on the Romans. But to tell him, Achinu Ata, to deny the problem, was totally inappropriate. The Gemara tells us on Amud Beis, about a third of the way down, the first word on the line is Be'osa Sha'a, at that time, Nischaivu Sone Yisrael Kalaya. The Jewish people deserved punishment. Shechnifu lo l'Agrippus, because they flattered Agrippus. And that this word chanifa is a very negative word. The word flatter can be taken in different ways. High level compliment, buttering someone up. Sometimes it's really tame and there's nothing wrong with it. But in the word chanifa, and as it's used here, it's considered very negative. It means that someone did the wrong thing, and nevertheless, you're approving it, encouraging it, and not acknowledging that we have a problem on our hands. Amar Rab Shimon ben Chalafta, miyom shegavar agropa shel chanufa, since the development of flattery, nisavsu hadinim, judgments are crooked, v'niskalkulu hamaisim, and people's behavior is bent, ve'en adam yachol lomar lachaveru ma'asai gedolu mima'asecha, and people can no longer pride themselves that they have better behavior than the next person, because there's a fundamental flaw in everyone's behavior due to the fact, shalomichu be'ovrei aveira, in Rashi's words, that you did not object to the people who are doing the wrong thing. And therefore, there's so much bad out there that leadership has not censured that whether you're a little bit better than the next guy in other areas is almost irrelevant, because there's so much of a problem attributable to the leadership that they flattered instead of rebuking. Dorash Rabbi Yehuda bar Ma'arava v'itemer Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. The following drasha was made. Mutter lahachnif rishaim ba'olam hazeh. You're allowed to flatter wicked people in this world. According to this view, you need to get through the day, and sometimes you have to tell a wicked person that it's okay, even though it's not okay. And this becomes extremely delicate, and we would need to know how we paskin. But sometimes organizations are in a position where they're tempted to honor somebody because it'll raise them money, but they realize that the person is not really honorable. And how do you handle such a situation? Lahachnif, to flatter somebody to survive, or to flatter them even to move forward, to form alliances, political or otherwise. To what extent is a person allowed to give sanction or a good word when they know that it might be understood as an endorsement for poor behavior? If you'll skip a line, you'll see one of the perspectives. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish amar mehacha. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish said as follows. Yaakov says to Esav, Kiros pnei Elokim vatirtzeni. My greeting you, my experiencing an audience with you, Parshas Vayishlach, is like greeting Hashem. I'm so pleased to have found favor in your eyes. And he uses that as a proof that you're allowed at times to flatter a Rasha, which Esav was, at a critical moment. Upliga de Rabbi Levi. And Rabbi Levi argues on that proof. The Omer Rabbi Levi explains, Moshel shel Yaakov ve'Esav l'moha dover dome. If you want to understand Yaakov and Esav and what Yaakov was saying over here, you have to understand the following parable. La'odem shezimen es chaveru, a person who encounters his fellow, v'hike bo shamevakesh lahargo, and he realizes that the person has plans to kill him. Omar lo, so he says, tam tavshil ze sha'ani toeim, the taste of this cooked food that I'm having now, ketavshil sheta'amti beveis hamelech, it's very similar to the taste of the food that I had when I was in the palace with the king. Basically, name dropping. Omar, yoda lemalka. So the wicked person says, you know the king? Mistifi, he gets afraid, velokatale, and he doesn't kill the person. And that's what happened over here, according to Rabbi Levi. Yaakov was doing name dropping. He's saying, it's just like when I greeted Hashem. Oh, you have audiences with Hashem? And therefore, Esav thought twice before he would hurt Yaakov. Tosfos brings another Gemara, bottom Tosfos, which also helps us in a direction here to try to appreciate the proper perspective. B'makom sakana mutter, Tosfos says. If it's true life endangerment, then you would be allowed to do this chanifa of praising the evildoer, but under normal circumstances, it could very well be restricted. The story went that Ula was traveling with two people, and one of them killed the other. He's a wild, wicked person, who knows? But he killed the other person. Amale le'ula, and then he turned to Ula and said, Yo'is avdi, did I do well? Amale, and Ula told him, because he felt he had to, he said, yeah, you did well. Kiyasa lekamei de Rabbi Yechanan. He then came to Rabbi Yechanan at the end of the trip. Amalei de machas v'shalom, achzakis yidei ovrei avera. Maybe I somehow endorsed bad behavior by affirming that the guy did well when he asked me. Amalei Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan told him, nafshecha hitzalta. You saved your life. In other words, what you did was okay, because the guy was already dead. Either way, the person was dead. It was only a question whether the guy would make you business number two or not. And by saying, yeah, you saved your life, and that was okay, chanifa for a rasha during the event to save a life is handled differently. But the fundamental question here, learnt from the case of Agrippus, is to what extent is a person allowed to foster goodwill, and at what point is it considered chanifa, denying that there's wrongdoing going on, which the Gemara censures very severely and describes the chachamim that approved of Agrippus as king and didn't let him deal with the problem, at least emotionally, to be aware, considers that behavior of those chachamim extremely off the mark. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.